Good afternoon. My name is Roger Metz, and welcome to the first day of summer and the longest day of the year. It calls for some sort of celebration, and the hardworking crew here at Woods and Water, South Carolina, is having the official treat, I guess you would call it, of summer, a peach milkshake from Chick-fil-A. And I can say that now because my niece is working at Chick-fil-A, so I am helping her with her summer job. But anyway, boy, I tell you, these things are good. I'm sorry. They're addictive. Dave, I know, enjoys them. I sure like them. So, hey, if you're out there driving around, it's only 93 degrees, go to Chick-fil-A and get you a peach milkshake. This is Woods and Water, South Carolina. Welcome into another hour. You're listening to 94.5 WGTK on your radio or streaming from the app or the website. Yet, summer is here, and it's a hot one. I drove through Columbia twice this week. I don't understand this. Columbia is hotter than Charleston, like by 10 degrees. But anyway, I drove through Columbia on Wednesday. It was 97, and yesterday it was 103. And if you look at the weather forecast for us, it's in the 90s for the next 10 days, if you believe that. But anyway, it's something to keep in mind when you're outdoors. Light-colored clothing, lots of water, Gatorade, and just make plans according to the heat. Do your outdoors early and late unless you're at the lake or the pool. I went to camp Tuesday. I haven't been to camp in 30 years, and it was so much fun. I got an invitation from Dan Dupree at South Carolina Department of Natural Resources to visit Camp Wildwood. I went to the first year camp, which is up at Kings Mountain State Park, and even Tuesday it was hot, and I hate to say this, I did take the interstate because I was on a very tight schedule. But boy, I tell you, once you got off and started climbing up through the state park and all and the national forest up there, man, it was cool, shady. It was beautiful. If you haven't been up there lately, it's a place to go. Anyway, it's been 30 years, but the kids there haven't changed. Yeah, you know, they were lined up getting ready to go in and eat lunch. And it only happens at summer camp. You know, this mixture of awards, assigning KP duties, cabin reports, and all the other stuff. And looking at those kids, it didn't take you but just a second to figure out who was who. You know, that kid right over there, that's the cabin clown. You ever have one of those in your cabin at camp? And one over there is the one you got to watch out for putting frogs and snakes in your bed. The counselor's pet, you know, that was an easy one. They were always the first one in line. We usually fixed that kid before the week was over. and there's the quiet one over there who's just soaking it all up. You know, I'll talk more about Camp Wildwood in the next segment, but and I'm looking forward to going down to the coastal camp too. And I've been a hold of Bo Mongold at CYI camps. I'm going to go visit them. And I also have the Glendale camps in Spartanburg. They're going to be on the show with us next week. So, hey, summer's not over. There's still room in some of these camps. You know, what a great place to go. Summer camp. Busy week. My youngest daughter had her first archery class last Monday. She is doing a summer program with the Upstate Hurricanes. And if you've been listening to this show, you know about the NAS program, the National Archery in Schools program, and the great work that Patrick and Colleen Pusateri right here in Greenville have done with this program in its first year. You know, they qualified for state, took first place high school girls. Second high school boys qualified for nationals. They placed first overall in South Carolina nationals, and come to find out they even qualified for the world championships. But she said they just weren't ready for that trip. You know, monetarily or with the schedule, especially having committed to the summer program. So anyway, we're excited to be there. But in connection with that, one thing I've never done is had a bow. I mean, I had a little fiberglass bow when I was a kid. You know, the first thing you do is point straight up, shoot the arrow straight up and wonder, oh no, where's it going to come down at? That's the extent of my exposure to archery and all that. So I know nothing about it. If you're in the same boat with me, or know somebody that wants to get involved in archery, and you're looking for the best pro shop in South Carolina, you need to tune in to the third segment. That's at 3:33. We're going to be talking to Tom Jeffrey from Jeffrey Archery in Columbia. I spent 2 hours with him on Wednesday, and he is a wealth of knowledge. If I can understand it, it ought to be easy for the rest of you. So tune in for that one. Call your friends. Let them know they're going to be on. He is a great guy. Calendar events for this week. Militia Day at Walnut Grove. You know, we're coming up on July the 4th. It's patriotic time. I saw this, and it just, it said, this is it. Saturday, June 28th, at Walnut Grove Plantation Militia Day. Join the South Carolina Independent Rangers for a day celebrating Walnut Grove's military history. It's from 11 to 4. They're going to have reenactors will be camped there and that sort of thing, telling the stories. They're going to have a cannon display, and it's right down there off 26. So, 26, no. Yeah, that's 26, not 35 is the other road. But right off 26, good place to go and enjoy a morning of learning about our state history, the War of Independence. Go wild at the Great American Backyard Campout. Okay, next Saturday is the Great American National Wildlife Federation Backyard Campout. This is a perfect opportunity to get together with your neighbors, your block, your cul-de-sac, whatever, and go camping over the weekend, just in your backyard. Don't go anywhere. Just get outside in your backyard and have a bunch of people over, cook out. You know, if you don't have a camp, go buy a tent, go buy one. You can make one out of a tarp if you don't want to get too expensive with it. But this is a event across the country. It's in conjunction with the Great Outdoors Month, and it just encourages people of all ages to camp in their backyards, neighborhoods, parks, campgrounds. It's just a simple way to reconnect with nature. And this show is about getting you back outside and into nature. And one of the things they're saying in here is nocturnal wildlife watching is an activity that will keep the family entertained. Now, that's true. But be careful, because one of the things is in here is get your binoculars, bird books, and flashlights to go out in the woods in search of owls. I would recommend using a red or green flashlight. A white flashlight will take away your night vision, and you won't see anything. Be careful of snakes, that sort of things. Hopefully, you don't have to worry about that in your backyard. They do have a really good one here. It says, go mothing. Put out a fruit or a simple tray feeder or smear it on a tree, and at night, check out the moth activity. Evidently, they like that sort of thing. Observe bugs at night by hanging a bed sheet in the backyard and shining a white light on it. Said the insects, of course, they're attracted to it and that sort of thing. Of course, there's fireflies out there. I was outside last night and saw the fireflies. Use your ears. You know, close your eyes. It's a proven fact when you shut off one sense, the other senses kind of amplify themselves. Close your eyes. Just sit there and listen. It is some amazing noises out there at night. Not all of them everybody likes, but they're out there. So get involved. Get your neighbors involved. Backyard camping. Here's a good one for the women in our audience, or the wives of the guys in our audience. The Women's Outdoor Retreat. Now, this is sponsored by the South Carolina Wildlife Federation, and this is a long, it's 3 pages if you print it out. But it's sponsored by the South Carolina Wildlife Federation, along with others. And the dates are September 19th through the 21st, 2014. Now, it's a long way out there, but it's one of those events that's, you know, guys, we go hunting and fishing all the time and our wives sit at home and some of us, we really like it that way. But this is a chance to get them out there, give them a weekend to go outdoors and do stuff. And there's a lot of things. It's open to ages 16 and older. Registration fee is $90 per person. There's lodging there, and this is located at Hickory Knob State Park, which is down in McCormick, South Carolina. There is a deadline, and the deadline is simply as long as space available. That's why I'm giving you this much time to get it. Meals are available there, overnight accommodations, and they're full of classes. Archery, backyard wildlife habitat, birding, canoeing, fish cleaning and cooking. Now, guys, if you can get your wives to cook and clean fish, you're a better man than I am. Fly fishing, freshwater fishing, kayaking intro, Little River kayak trips included, nature photography, outdoor cooking, sailing, skeet shooting and firearms safety, survival skills, wildlife science. This is something that you might do for your wife that might introduce her to some of the things you like to do. You never know until you try, and this is a safe way to try it. You're not teaching her, and she's not getting mad at you for yelling at her. So might be a good thing to do. July the 4th, a lot going on, but right here in South Carolina, July the 4th is Free Fishing Day. You don't have to have a license to go fishing, freshwater fishing, that is, in South Carolina. If you go down to the coast, you still have to have a little saltwater stamp or whatever. It's $10. But it's free right here in South Carolina on Memorial Day. Go take advantage of it. Go fishing. There's the music. I'll be back with a few more on the other side.
Conservative Talk. 94.5. Yeah, yeah. All right.
Welcome back to Woods and Water. You know, I know my wife is listening because he texts me messages. And that one was ha-ha about the yelling at her because, you know, when I don't know how to teach her, I just yell at her. Oh, remind me one of these days. I'll tell you about this time I got her up in a deer stand and thought I was going to have to leave her there for the rest of her life. Anyway, a few more before I get to the end of the calendar events here. There's a couple of really good Independence Day barbecue cook-offs. There's one over in Mullen, South Carolina, the Marion County Independence Day celebration. It's a ribs cook-off. And this is a South Carolina Barbecue Association sanctioned event. That's in Mullins. If you're going to be over that way, visiting family over the 4th, a great ribs. Oh, man. I've got to get something out and barbecue for the 4th. Right down the street here at Henry's Smokehouse on Friday, July the 4th from 11 to 4, they're going to have live music, barbecue, of course, Cool Mama's dessert truck, and the Henry's Hog Hauler is going to be there. It's going to have a tent there. If you've ever passed Henry's when they have one of these events, and right there next door, they set up all the tents and chairs and all. So right here in Greenville, Henry's 4th of July Spectacular, it says a tent will be provided, and they're almost got my little tagline. It says, and don't forget to grab some dessert. So show up for that. That's a good one. And the 5th annual 2014 South Carolina Coastal Flyover Saluting Our Military will take place Friday, July the 4th. And they've given me a loose schedule here. It should start about 1 o'clock at the Cherry Grove Pier, and they fly the whole coast. Now, I'm not sure what they're going to have this year. In the past, they've had C-47s, some other airplanes. The 20th Fighter Wing out of Shaw Air Force Base always puts up some jets to fly down. And if you've ever seen it, go to YouTube and search the Coastal Flyover South Carolina and look at. You would not believe the amount of people out on the beach waving American flags, USA carved in the sand. I can't imagine what the people flying down the beach must feel when they see that kind of outpouring of support. So if you're going to be along the coast, July the 4th, and a lot of people will be down there, between the hours of 1 and 2 o'clock, I mean, Cherry Grove Pier at 1 o'clock, Spring Maid 109, Merle's Inlet at 116, Polly's 119, Isle of Palms at 140, Kiowa 149, Hilton Head at 206. Turn out, show your support for our military. Everybody on here knows my feelings for the military, so I'm thinking about driving down there for the day just so I can be a part of it. That might not happen, but it's a thought. The Glendale Outdoor Dealership School over here in Spartanburg on July the 5th and 6th is having a wilderness and remote first aid course. This is a hardcore course. It includes American Red Cross CPR AED training. It's $140 for 2 days of courses. It includes 16 hours of WFA, 3 hours of CPR, and all the materials. You can bunk out for $15 a night. And it's in-depth. And part of me says, yeah, it'd be good to go, but this is for those people who are going to be in charge of a lot of group of kids or whatever, or you're thinking about taking a group on the Appalachian Trail for a couple months, because it covers a lot. Backcountry essentials, cold-related injuries, heat-related injuries, patient lifting and moving. I remember when I took advanced life-saving, we had to learn the fireman's carry someone out of a pool. Principles of fracture care, have a rescue plan, sprains and strains. That's my favorite. And then universal precautions. This would be a good course if you're in that kind of position. The last one for this week is down at Lake Coniston Nature Park. July the 12th, it's a $5.50 cost. It's a guided walk through the trails of Lake Coniston Nature Park. And they don't say anything. You might want to check on it because there are only so many available spaces. But that's right here next door to us, too. So anyway, that's the calendar of events. I will be adding those, as always, to the Facebook page and the website. Website is under construction still. It's just going to get better and better. And check out the post, pictures, leave a comment. If you're on Facebook, like the show. You can also send me an email at roger@woodsandwatersc.com. Send me your pictures, comments, an event you'd like for me to add to the next calendar. And if you want to call on the show, those numbers are 235-9405, 877-235-9405. Last week, if you listened in to the second segment, we talked to Bradley Miller a little bit about boating safety, and I wanted to take that subject a little further and talk about etiquette on the ramp, ramp etiquette. And you say, what is ramp etiquette? Well, if you have a boat, you launch your boat off a ramp, this is for you. And it doesn't matter if you're just got your first boat, or if you've had your boat 10 years, 15, 20 years, it's just things to keep in mind. And I have a lot of guide friends, and I go to a lot of ramps, and you see this, and it just drives you nuts. The first one is, don't block the ramp while you load your boat and put the plug in. When you pull up to that ramp, like you're ready to back down, that boat ought to already be ready to go in the water. Stop somewhere else, under the shade trees on the road end or something, and get everything together. But when you pull up to that ramp, be ready to put the boat in the water. Don't sit there and load it while everybody else is waiting on you. Hot summertime is not the time to make other people mad. I just be honest with you. Don't try to teach someone to back your boat down the ramp on a Saturday during the summer. You know, go back that, just take the backing practice in the Walmart parking lot, or go to the lake in the week, during the week. It's a little less crowded then, but don't do it on a Saturday or Sunday. Don't go practice that. If you know how to back it in, get it out. If you're solo, learn how to do it quick. Offer to help that solo guy launch his boat. Yeah, maybe he'll help you. It never hurts to be nice to others. Don't park crooked in the truck trailer slots. And for heaven's sakes, be careful when you back up so you don't hit the trailer beside you. Do not, and this is for friends or charter customers. If you booked a charter with a guide or something at one of the local lakes or at the coast, or if you're meeting your friend there to go out in his bass boat or whatever else, do not park your car in a truck or trailer parking spot. I have seen some things people have done to people who park in a truck and trailer parking spot when there's no more room for the guy with his boat who's trying to make a living as a guide. They don't like that. And I can understand why. So that's just a little bit of a little add-on to boating safety, I guess you'd say. It's just a little ramp etiquette. And like I say, it applies to me too. I'm right in here with the rest of us. I'm a normal guy and I make mistakes and do things but I tell you what, I listen to so many people gripe and complain about people backing down ramps that when I bought my boat, 10 years ago now, I spent a month learning how to back that thing before I ever tried to put it in Charleston. So take it for what it's worth, just trying to keep the peace of the boat ramp this summer. Like I said, I went to Camp Wildwood Tuesday. It was fun. This is the first year camp. If you remember, Camp Wildwood is a 3-year progressive camp. Starts out with 10th graders, about 100 of them. And it is very focused. The banner going across the road as you drove in, it says 60th anniversary Camp Wildwood Natural Resource Leadership Training. So if your kid leans towards that outdoors expertise and a career, this is the camp for them. Some of the other camps they're adventure camps and shooting camps and all that. That's great. If you just want to go to summer camp, you have a computer genius on your hands or whatever. But if your child, and this is 10th, 11th, 12th grade, they have an interest in majors in biology or natural resources, science, that sort of thing, this is for them. And I talked about the lunch line addicts. Even though this is a very focused camp, boy, the kids are just kids. The food was great. I got there at lunchtime, Dan said, hey, come on, eat lunch with us. I went and ate lunch. It was good. Spaghetti and meatballs. And my daughter was at a camp in Columbia in class all week, and every night she called in. She was complaining about the food, the cafeteria food. I'm like, well, you should have gone to Camp Wildwood this year. No, I didn't. I took her pizzas, really. Meatballs, salad, bread, these little round potatoes they boiled that were so good, watermelon slices, cookies. They even gave me a cup. It was funny because they talked about KP duty before lunch. I guess some losing cabin, and I don't know how they lose, but there were two lines for your dirty dishes, and there were 10 kids in each line, and they were getting everything done. Those dishes went in dirty and came out into the washing machine, and it was fun to watch. I spent most of my time with Brad Taylor, and if you know Brad, he's Taylor Outdoors. He's kind of a jack of all trades. He's a fishing guide down on Lake Murray. He's an alligator guide during alligator season. He does a lot with the Department of Natural Resources, and he actually has been the director of that camp for 25 years or so. He was a camper, went through all three camps, and now he's the director. I spent a really nice guy. He took me kind of around and showed me what was what. They had a forestry class there, and it was being taught by a forestry biologist out of the Clemson office. They they had a group over, and they have a lake there, and they had the went over the spillway, and there was a group in the water there in the spillway, and we talking a little about what they were doing, and they dropped down into the actual pool, and then they started going up a creek, and they were being led by a DNR freshwater fisheries biologist from the Bayless Hatchery down in Bono. Bono, that fish hatchery, is responsible for all the hundreds of thousands of striped bass that we release in our lakes here in the upstate every year. There's a wildlife biologist there, and we talked a little bit about the turkeys and during one of the lulls, and the coyotes, you know, what they think the solution to coyotes is. And she was doing plaster casts of animal tracks with the kids. Hunter education class with Officer Stevens, and talking to him at lunch, he grew up in Chester right behind the cyclone. And we moved from Chester about the same time he was moving to Chester. But we started talking, it's an amazing small world. We started talking about the Cyclone cheeseburgers and the Bantam Chef banana splits, and boy, did we have fun. But anyway, this is one of those focused camps. I did see the medic, in case you're wondering, with all these outdoor activities and all, and they got to shoot, I think our Thursday was archery and Friday was going to be guns, but they had to go through the hunter education course before they could touch a gun. So that was really good. They had their certification when they left camp. I saw the medic tending to a scraped leg. She looked to be very capable. So if you're worried about your kid getting bummed up, all these camps have good people like that. And all of these classes, it was nice because it wasn't just, oh, here's what I'm going to tell you you need to do or touch this leaf or whatever, but they had printouts, pictures, they had books, they had pretty much an outline they had to keep. So not only were they having fun at camp, they were really learning a lot. They were on the lake, went out to the lake, and they were having a canoeing class. And the lady that she was a retired department employee, and her husband and she run a canoeing company down on the Edisto. That's one of their things they do, the canoeing classes down there. And this was where I really wanted to get in and go. And they were learning how to turn a canoe over. I'm an expert at turning a canoe over. I can do it on a moment's notice. But they were turning them over and then learning how to lift that canoe up onto a neighbor's canoe, drain it, and then float it and get back in without getting water back in. They were learning how to change positions, you know, front seat to back seat without turning it over. You know, how to maneuver it. And then, of course, there was the cheering section. In the shade on the bank where all the counselors who kids were out there, giving them a good cheering session and all. Really good time. I look forward to going down to the other camp along the coast. You know, I hope you'll consider sending your kids to camp, even if they're not, if they don't appear like they want to go. Sometimes you have to give them a little push. But it's good for them. I mean, they come back, they're a changed person. You know, they learn a little responsibility. They're stuffed into normally a 10 by 15 cabin. And they had some really nice cabins at Camp Wildwood. They're stuffed in. They have to learn how to get along with each other for a week. They have to take instruction from somebody who's not much older than they are. Their duties, their challenges, there are prizes. You know, sometimes you have to give kids just a little bit of push. So if your kid's sitting at home this summer, it's not too late. There are other camps out there. The YLI camps at Clemson, check them out. The Glendale camps right here in Spartanburg, and there's YMCA camps, day camps and all. Get them outside. Don't let them sit there and look at TV all summer or play their computer games or that sort of thing. There's a world outside the doors of your house. And yeah, some of these camps are pretty expensive, but you've only got a few years. What's a few hundred dollars every summer to get them out, get them involved, and you never know what kind of interest you're going to spark in them. So, that was my day at camp on Tuesday. And I'm looking forward to going back to camp again here real short, and I'll bring you those stories as they happen. We'll see you on the other side. Tune in for Tom Jeffrey with Jeffrey Archery. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. If you were listening earlier, you heard me talk about my daughter and her beginnings with the National Archery and School Program. And I told you we're going to have a guest on, and we have Tom Jeffrey from Jeffrey Archery in Columbia on the line with us. Tom's is a proud sponsor of this show, I hope. Tom, how are you today?
Hey, I'm good.
Good.
Great to talk to you today.
Yes, sir. I wanted to tell you before we went any further, I had a blast with you Wednesday. You taught me so much about archery, because like I was telling everybody on here earlier, you know, my exposure to archery was the old yellow fiberglass bow when I was about 12, and the first thing I did was I took it and shot it straight up and said, uh-oh.
You and a whole bunch of other people.
I just wonder when all what we were talking about when we don't have them all have metal plates in our heads or walking with a shoulder down or something.
That's right.
Tom, you had a great entry the other day when we were talking about doing this segment, and I said, Tom, what's the first question you ask somebody when they walk in your shop? And what I got was not what I was expecting.
Yeah, well, typically, you know, we greet people when they come in, and we might say when they come in, you say, hey, my name's Tom. How can I help you with, you know, what kind of archery are you interested in? And we get started that way as opposed to directly into trying to sell them something.
And I approached it all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a great line. And what it does, it just creates that relationship right off the bat. Now I'm not talking to some sales guy. I'm talking to Tom.
Yeah. We like that. Our whole setup here is we want to be a very comfortable environment. And, you know, a lot of times when people, they would come in here first time and they think of a pro shop as somebody who's aloof and going to talk down to them, or they're afraid of that. But we have people of all walks of life, people who have no experience whatsoever, as well as the professional type folks that come in, and we can make them all feel at home here.
And you did me, because I have no idea what I was doing and what I need, and you were going to tell me. Well, after explaining to me an hour all the ins and outs of archery, you said, just come shoot some. So I'm going to be down there in the next week or so. I told you my daughter was doing the archery, and I'm going to let her kind of teach me as she learns, which is going to reinforce her lesson, and then teach me too, and I get to do it for free. So, but tell us about yourself and your shop.
Well, we've been around since 1976 here in Columbia. And over the years, the last 38 years, we've evolved into being from a manufacturer of traditional and compound bows and things to one of the more prominent retail operations in the state of South Carolina. The last the last 5 years or so, we've been in the top 100 of in one of our major brands of Matthews. And the other products that we have here, we have Hoyt and Bowtech and Bear and Mission and Nyman and probably some other things I can't think of right now. But we tend to be top performers in all of them in terms of supplying to the marketplace. Probably what makes us different, we spend a lot of time with the customer. When they come in, we want to engage them. We want to find out, you know, what type of archery they're interested in, do a good job of measuring them and making sure the stuff fits well, is set up well, and they know they feel real good when they leave out of here and become effective. That's why we're probably seeing today, you know, we're seeing the grandchildren of people that we did business with in 1976.
Well, you'll see two generations of at least mine.
And our roots actually go back to about 1950, when my father began his career making bows with the Hoyt Archery Company and later with Bear Archery Company. And then we had the opportunity in 76 to start our own company. So we go back quite a bit. We can talk to all of them. We have compound bows, we have traditional tackle. We can speak the language for everybody.
And when I got there, you were actually back in the back putting some finishing touches on a long bow, and then you had some tips you were spraying and all that. It was really neat to watch.
You saw me back in the sawdust.
I did.
making some of those traditional bows.
And that's an amazing niche that you have, because there's not much of that around.
No, this is a pretty rare commodity. Even the nature of our store right here, most outlets for archery in the state of South Carolina are a multifaceted, you know, they may be fishing and hunting and whatever. We're 100% archery.
That's right. And that's what you have to do to be good at something. You have to be focused. And y'all are very focused down there.
Yeah, we're happy to do that.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, I won't take anything you say from here on out personally, but, I walk into your shop and I want to buy a bow.
Mm-hmm.
And right after you say, hi, my name is Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, hi, my name is Roger.
Yeah.
What's the next step?
Well, we would probably say, hey, Roger, what type of archery are you interested in, or do you have any idea? Do you want to bow hunt, or are you into competition? You might say, oh, I just want to be in the backyard.
Right.
Most people are going to come in and say, well, I intend to hunt later, and right now I want to get started. I said, okay, great. Then I would tend to approach you with what you're basically going to need. We're going to say, look, this is typical setup for a bow. You have a bow, you have proper arrow rest, sights and quivers and release aid and arrows and things like that. And that's what you can expect to need. Let's see what kind of draw length you have. And we're going to spend some time to measure their draw length, get some idea of what would work well. Then I'm probably going to have them go over and actually pull some bows, get some idea of what kind of bow weight they may be able to handle, what's a good thing for them to do.
Okay.
Most people walk in with the perception that you might need to have a 70-pound bow to be effective out there in the woods. That's not true at all. I personally shoot 50 pounds.
There you go.
For those that can't pull as much bow weight, we try to recommend something that they can comfortably get into and work up to where they want to be. And we'll handle all that kind of stuff, make sure they're right eye dominant, they're going to shoot right-handed, that sort of thing.
Right.
We'll do that before we actually approach the bows and the makers and choices we may have. We may come in there someplace in there and say, you have a budget range you're trying to get into.
Okay? Which I do.
And you may, well, I figured you'd be the guy that says, it's unlimited.
Oh, no.
But
I wish, but that's not me.
But we try to focus in on what's going to work well, not only fit them and be set up well, but fits in the budget range, because you can take a pretty basic piece of equipment and be very effective out there. You can kill every species of game on the North American continent. They can shoot accurately. They're quiet and they're pleasant. As you move up the product lines, you know, we have bows that might be $1,300 to $1,400 just for the bow, and they're not dramatically faster or anything like that. But,
right.
But the feel of the bow is a little different. You can't expect them to shoot a little faster. Have some nuances of technology that are appealing in terms of the feel of the bow. But their ability to take game and shoot accurately is not that much different than pretty basic piece of equipment.
And what really amazed me is when you were talking about the bows, almost before you ever put one in my hand, you said, you can't judge a bow by the speed of the arrow, because there's only 10 or 15% difference in most instances, only about a 10 or 15% difference in the arrow speed. And that arrow speed is an industry standard, right?
That's correct. The industry standard of measure of drawing at 30 inches, have the bow set at 70 pounds, 350 grain arrow, shoot it out of machine, and it posts a number. And most people, when they look at the bows, they think something is 320 versus a 300 versus a 310. Well, that's the 320 has got to be the best deal. And not necessarily so. You've got the feel of the bow, the way it pulls. That's where I like to, once we get it narrowed down into something that fits the basic load, there may be two or three choices that will do that job. And if guys want to go out there and take it for a ride, shoot some arrows out of it, see what that grip feels like, see what happens, what the bow feels like once it goes off. How does it sound? How does it feel in your hand? Because you're going to live with this thing, and that's just a nice way to, discriminate between the models of bows. You'll find out what you like.
And you take a very different approach to outfitting it. You go down an entire checklist.
That's correct. I don't have any memory lapses. I actually have a worksheet there, so I make sure that as we select a bow, particularly if it is not a pre-set up outfit or something like that,
right?
We go down and we'll say, okay, the first thing we need to do is check out what type of arrow rest that you might put on this bow. And we'll talk about those up and down, and the sight and the bow quiver, and then color coordinate them or whatever we want to do. And so that I don't miss recommending something to anybody that's there. Now, on that checklist, I may have stuff down there that you don't need on this particular outfit. Or for this particular shooter, of course, we'll bypass that and move the important stuff.
Right.
Once we got that all set up, then we chose the right bow. We're not done there.
We just got started.
You just got started. Because what we've got to do is take that bow and modify it, changing draw lengths. We're going to take the from a techie side. We've got to take those bows and make sure that they're absolutely on their thrust line, their center shot. The knock and point is correct for the style of bow. adjust the sight so it's a rough sight in. We have to take the shooter, have them draw the bow, adjust the peep sight so that it's proper for them so it feels real good, and do all that kind of stuff so that the bow is ready. Then we have to go fit some arrows.
That's right. Well, Tom, we're about 30 seconds away from a break. Keep going, but when you hear the music, can you hold on to the next segment?
Sure, we can do that.
Okay.
And as we get into the arrows, we have to have the proper flex and the weight of the points and things that match the bow weight and things. And then we'll go on from there.
We're talking with Tom Jeffrey from Jeffrey Archery. Hang on to the other side, and we'll finish this up. And, Tom, I want you to think about how long somebody needs to give you to do the whole process.
Okay.
Thanks. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We are talking still with Tom Jeffrey from Jeffrey Archery in Columbia. Tom, right before we went to the break, and I appreciate you hanging on and giving us this time on a busy Saturday. We'd gotten done with the bow, but now we got the arrows.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much the arrows depend on what you really wanted to do with the bow to begin with, correct?
We have to have the proper flex of the arrow to work out of the architecture you're working with, the length of the arrow, and the head weight. But the tip of the arrow would be important for whatever if you're target shooting, we'll have a different kind of point than the broadhead. But our job is to help select out an arrow that is going to work well for what you're going to do. And there's a little bit of a science to that. And it doesn't have to be a $12 arrow. $6 arrow can do a great job for you. Now, as far as I think just before you left, you asked about how much time that they should have set up.
Yeah.
It's going to take us 30 to 40 minutes to really grease one of these bows up and set up and make sure that it all fits and so forth. So on top of that, you have to have your decision point. How long do you need to be examining the stuff and asking questions? And that sometimes takes longer than what it takes us to actually put the bow together.
It took me about an hour the other day.
That's what I'm saying. So if you take, if it takes you 30, 45 minutes to shop, okay, but it's going to take us about 30, 40 minutes to actually put everything together, adjust it properly for the user.
And you're not done yet after that, are you?
No. After we got it all done, we want to take you out on our indoor range and actually show you how to use it. If you're a new person, you're going to have some anxieties about, can I shoot this thing and can I be accurate? But we're going to take some time out there to make sure you know how to anchor that thing, how to look through the sights, how to adjust the sights and so forth. By the time they get finished, they're going to feel real comfortable about their purchase. They're going to feel like they can do this thing.
And the nice thing about going right there on the range, if there is something that needs to be adjusted, you do it right there.
Exactly.
You don't have to come back.
You don't have to come back. We'll have it set up, that fits you very, very well.
But you want them to come back.
We do want you to come back.
Not with problems.
Well, we want you to come back and drag your buddy.
That's right.
and then we want to keep, from time to time, your bow need to be serviced. And string stretch, wear out, and so forth. We want to, take care of your service needs there. Maybe you want to put a upgrade on the bow sight or you need more arrows and things. We want to see you for all of those things.
And you will, and I will be dragging my brother along with me when I come.
That's the way it's done right there.
but he has a budget also, so.
Okay.
Take it easy on us when we see you.
All right, we'll be gentle with you.
We appreciate it. Look, and I know this because I've covered NASP a little bit. Do you have just a couple minutes to tell us?
Yeah, NASP.
Just give us a couple minutes of basic NASP.
I saw NASP, just when it first started, before they came into South Carolina, and I had to be part of that and arranged to be in a level 2 instructor for NASP. Because when I looked at it, this is probably the most impressive program I've ever seen for getting young people into the game. Use fairly lightweight bows, 20 pounds. It's a very structured environment. They actually do it in the schools and in gymnasiums. It's safer than ball sports. What they found was the kids not only came in and did this, but they found that kids that participated in the NASP program, their attendance at school was better, their grades were better, their deportment in the classroom after their archery program was better, and it's a really neat thing. kids that never, you know, they weren't fast enough or strong enough for some of the other sports were high-fiving the principal walking down the in the hallway because they were on the archery team. And it's gender neutral. We have girls and boys. Just a terrific program.
And it's all positive.
It's all positive. Everything that goes on in there is, even the instruction. This is what we do. They're not talking about what they don't do. And just a great program. And the whole idea, of course, is to get kids out of, you know, out buying video games and actually getting outside and do things. And some of those kids will take this up as a natural hobby. Some will be target shooters. Some may take up bow hunting. And just the exposure to this kind of thing leads them to other outdoor activities.
That's true.
Terrific program.
And you won't toot your horn, so I'll toot it for you. But Tom was the referee at the South Carolina State Shoot down at the fairgrounds at the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic. You're the man in black and white stripes.
That's right. I've been doing that for them for probably 7 or 8 years. But it's actually a pretty easy job. I mean, we had 1,000 kids that competed in that tournament. But with the apportment of the kids coming from what they learned in their classes at school, it's a pretty easy job.
And you had a lot of help, too.
We did.
There were DNR agents all up and down that line, volunteers. I never seen so many green shirts in my life.
That's right. That's right. And they just had a really great program. And any parent that has an interest, they ever get a chance to go down and watch that that contest going on, it is really exciting.
It was impressive, too. Wall-to-wall parents and families and then wall-to-wall, shoulder-to-shoulder shooters.
That's right. That's right, and there is a lot of cheering going on as their teams get announced. You know how they finished out there.
Yep,
good deal.
It was nice. Well, look, Tom, I really appreciate you coming on. Even more importantly, I appreciate you sponsoring the show. I remember when I first came into your shop, I had never been on the air, I'd never done any radio, and we talked for we probably spent 4 or 5 hours together. And the day you told me that you're going to sponsor me, I was like, wow.
Well, we enjoy being a part of it. I wish this program the most success, and we hope some of your listeners get the opportunity to drive down here to Columbia on Bluff Road and see our shop.
And I'm going to encourage them to do that, and I'm also going to encourage them to let you know that they heard you here on this radio show.
That'd be perfect.
Tom, I appreciate it. What's the shop number there?
Our number here is 803-776-3832.
Thank you for being here. I will see you probably in a couple of weeks.
All right, Roger.
Okay.
We'll see you then.
Thanks, sir.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
That was Tom Jeffrey from Jeffrey Archery in Columbia. Just a great guy. I spent a couple hours with him Wednesday, and he explained he is an ever-patient man. Let's put it that way. It doesn't matter. You know, I went in there and didn't know anything, and I came out knowing more than I really wanted to know. But he was a very good teacher, and I can't wait to go down and actually buy a bow from him and have him walk me through the whole process, because I'm a little apprehensive. I haven't pulled a bow back. I was in a car wreck a few years ago. Shoulders are not what they used to be. Played a lot of softball and all. And so, you know, it's going to take a little encouragement from me, but if there's a place to go, I think I can get that. It's in Columbia. So, and when you do go down there, tell Tom you heard about him here. Wow, it's been a busy one. Let's get to a few news stories from across the state. DNR has announced, of course, we have the red snapper season, which is a whole 8 days of fishing this year. It's July 11th through the 13th, the 18th through the 20th. You can fish those days on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The last weekend is July 25th, 26th. So you can only fish a Friday and Saturday. The recreational catch limit's been set at 22,576 fish. Bag limit's one fish per person per day, and there's no minimum size limit. Now, a way you can help out the red snapper, whoever makes those decisions, is SAFMC, really. But the Department of Natural Resources would like to have your snapper skeletons, you know, your carcasses. Whenever you catch one, they want that so they can use that in their studies to figure out how our stocks are doing and that sort of thing. So they have set up several places along the coast, Fish on Outfitters in North Myrtle Beach, Harrelson Seafood Market in Merle's Inlet, Georgetown Landing Marina in Georgetown, the Department of Natural Resources there on Fort Johnson Road in Charleston, the Boathouse Restaurant in Hilton Head, their freezers there, DNR logo, There are also the complete catch cards that you need to fill out, the plastic bags at each location. So do this so they can get some idea of the stocks of our red snapper. And that's a big area of contention in the offshore fishing community, is the way that the SAFMC has handled. That's the South Atlantic Fishery Management Council. I have another story here from the Council for Sustainable Fishing, and they're trying to optimize the relationship between the recreational and commercial fishing and the powers that be, so to speak. They have actually halted an effort to designate another 1,000 square miles of additional deep water marine area off the Carolinas, Georgias, and East Florida. They've gotten enough opposition from fishermen, coastal businesses, that they've halted the proposal. They're going to take a step back and have another public input session on smaller management zone to protect some deep water snapper group responding areas. There's already 500 or 50 square miles out there that's already protected. The odd thing about this is in the original proposal, they took out the SAFMC, this is, took out any requirement for studies to see if these MPAs were protecting or not. So it's been a battle. These things were implemented in 2009. There have been no studies. There's 530 square miles off limits right now. There have been no studies. So they need to take more time before they say it. And we need to hold their feet to the fire and make them come up with some scientific studies to see if these closures are actually working. A little more news from Department of Natural Resources. If you are a turkey hunter, if you like to see turkeys and all, the department would like your help in the summer turkey survey. Since 1982, the Department of Natural Resources conducts a summer turkey survey to estimate reproduction and recruitment of wild turkeys in South Carolina. Charles Ruth, who's the Deer and Wild Turkey Program Coordinator, said the Summer Turkey Survey is designed to monitor annual nesting success of hens and survival of their young, and that's the greatest dynamic on turkey populations. So if you want to help, it's July and August. Get in touch with the DNR and, hey, put some time back into the pursuit that you like. Go volunteer. The bill for turkey season was in the South Carolina legislature. It died. You know, it was going to even out the seasons. Made it all the way through the last day. It looked like it had tremendous support, was going to fast track to pass the Senate, and never got it for a final bill. There was a few amendments added, which meant that it didn't have time to come up for discussion. And also, it being the end of the legislative cycle, now it has to be reintroduced. They're pretty confident it will pass the next time around. And all it did was say, hey, the upstate and the low country, we're going to take away a day from the low country and give 13 or so days to the upstate, which I kind of like, because that means it'd give me a little more time to see if I could find a morning to get outside. Another show is almost over. It's been a good one. I'd like to thank Tom Jeffrey again for taking time on Saturday to be here. Now that you've heard him, maybe you feel like you know him a little better, get down to Columbia, meet him in person. I am. If anybody wants to go with me, let me know. We'll all go as a big group, and we'll just, you know, have 10 people in there buying bows at one time. Remember, they do have the compound, but if you are a traditional archery guy, you know, the recurves and longbows, that's a real craft, and he's a real craftsman. And while you're down there, hey, you can pick up some great mustard-based barbecue. You know, the only real barbecue? I shouldn't say that. I'm offending somebody out there. But anyway, go to Columbia, buy you a bow. I'll keep you posted on my progress with bow hunting. Let's see. Chuck Norris for this week. Here's a good one. Once a cobra bit Chuck Norris's leg, and after 5 days of excruciating pain, the cobra died. Oh, I traveled some back roads this week. I promise you, if you go to the Facebook page, and I'll get them up on the website, I promise you will not see what I saw this week from an interstate. And I guarantee you won't be able to slam on brakes like I did every 3 or 4 miles and take pictures. There's James. Another Saturday's over. Make time to get outdoors this week. Be careful of the heat. Travel the back roads. Be careful. Make plans to do some barbecue on the 4th. And when you're on those back roads, don't forget the camera. Enjoyed it. Tune in next week and get outdoors.